Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show. This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we'll get to my breakdown of each NFL game from over the weekend. And a little bit later on. Coming up, some other takeaways from the NFL, such as nobody is safe. It's a lot like college football right now this year. Both are pretty wide open. And I think the biggest winners in the NFL didn't even play, didn't step on the field this past weekend. Get to that coming up here on the Morrow Midday Show. You can always join the conversation throughout the afternoon. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. You can leave a comment for the show by heading to charlestonsportsradio.com. Click on our show page and there, commenting for the show. Or you could always give us a call, 843-721-9500. Text line always open as well, 843-608-1734. Don't forget to get your picks in by the end of the week. I'll let you know where I was right, where I was wrong over the past week on tomorrow's show. But we did have a second consecutive losing week on the picks. That's not good. 3-5 for the second straight week. I will say that when we do have a losing week, it typically seems to be 3-5. That we don't completely bottom out. But still, nonetheless, under 500, back-to-back weeks, not good. We'll try to get it going again this week. But you can get your picks in strictly just needing to pick the winner. Get your picks in by the end of this week, 5 p.m. Friday. A new week starts for our weekly Pick'em contest. Make your picks by the end of the week, and you can get yourself a Fan Zone gift card. Head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com to make your picks today or by the end of the week. The NFL yesterday, speaking of trying to gamble or trying to make picks, if you play fantasy football, if you gamble at all, if you're in a survivor pool, what a brutal Sunday for all of that stuff involved. Underdogs went 7-4 straight up yesterday. Nobody was safe. Yeah, the Cowboys get blown out. The Buffalo Bills lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars. In fact, I'll circle back to that game because that's the epitome of yesterday in the NFL. But otherwise, elsewhere, I mean, even if you want to include the Saints, granted they were playing with essentially their third-string quarterback, but they lose at home as a 5-2 team. To a Falcons team that was under 500 going in. The Raiders lose against the Giants. That was one of the picks we did get right. The Packers without Aaron Rodgers, I guess you could have saw that coming. They lose. The Rams got beat up last night. How about the Cardinals winning without Kyler Murray? I think the two biggest winners in the NFL yesterday were two guys that didn't even step on the field. Number one, Aaron Rodgers. Because when you looked at the NFL yesterday, the Cardinals won by 14 on the road without Kyler Murray. They still scored 31 points with Colt McCoy, who played like that game of his career. And what do I always say here on the show, right? If you really want to see how valuable somebody is, you have to look to see how things change, differ at all when they're not around. After somebody leaves a company, if you just function the same, don't even realize that person's gone, it's like, oh, you know what? They didn't play a very big role. If that person leaves the company, they go take another job or you fire them, whatever it is, and things start to fall apart. It's like in the episode of The Office when Dwight gets fired and he has to go work for, like, Staples, and then Michael realizes, you know, that Dwight was the one that would come in and rearrange his office. He'd clean up his office and put his toys together, and he would also water the plants in the office. He did all these little things that nobody realized until he was gone. And then he realized, like, oh, you know what? He was a little more valuable to this office, more so than just the paper sales he made. They did a little bit of everything around here. The coffee, they took care of the plants, organized Michael's office for him, did all the little things. Right? Or like when a parent goes out of town and the kids, all hell breaks loose at the house. They need their parents. They're still too young or they're too immature. They can't take care of themselves. You realize how important people are to an operation. Well, the Cardinals, they looked just fine yesterday without Kyler Murray. Last night, it was more about the Titans' defense, but even so, the Titans looked just fine, at least for 1 week, without Derrick Henry. They didn't do much offensively. They couldn't run the football, but they still won by double digits on the road against a team that was previously 7-1 on Sunday Night Football. May only be for 1 week. That may not be something to rely on every week, the quarterback throwing you the football and getting those interceptions. But still, they won without Derrick Henry. Then you look at the Packers. And the Packers going up against a terrible Chiefs defense, managed 7 points, came in the fourth quarter, and they couldn't do anything offensively. Jordan Love was not good for at least the first half of that game before he started to find some sort of rhythm. So I think the two winners from Saturday, neither one stepped on the field. The first one's Aaron Rodgers. Because for Rodgers now, right, he has even more leverage for the Packers when it comes to his demands. For the time being, you can't base somebody's career off of one game. Right? Troy Aikman was really tough on Jordan Love yesterday. So it led to people posting Troy Aikman's debut, which was horrendous. The difference being Troy Aikman was a true rookie. Jordan Love's been in the league a couple of years. But also, the point being that, hey, Troy, you know, you struggled as well to begin. It's not easy when you make your first start. And Jordan Love looked a little chaotic yesterday. They were blitzing heavy at him. They were making things difficult. There's a difference between practice speed and game speed. And Jordan Love got his first look at game speed yesterday and seemed to be, at least for a half, maybe three quarters, a little frazzled by it. So you need a little patience with all this. But for the time being, not a great start for Jordan Love. And for Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure he wasn't happy his team was losing, but he could kick his feet up, realizing that, A, his job is safe, and, B, he now has even more leverage if and when he wants to play hardball with the Packers again to try to get out of town, to try to get something, whatever it may be, at the end of the year. If Jordan Love went out there and balled and played great, played like Colt McCoy, then if you're the Packers, you're thinking like, okay, well, we can move on from this Rodgers guy. Similar to how Rodgers got the job. Brett Favre, you know, was coming back and forth for 3 years, retiring, not retiring. And it got to a point where eventually they saw enough out of Aaron Rodgers that said, you know what, we don't need Brett anymore. Brett, you go do whatever you want. You stay retired. We don't want you to come back. If Jordan Love played like an Aaron Rodgers, and then you'd say, Aaron, do whatever. You don't want to be here? Fine. We got our next guy. And he wants to be here. Go wherever you want. We're done with you. But that didn't happen. Jordan Love didn't play well. The Packers looked bad. They lose the game, and Aaron Rodgers gets even more leverage out of it and shows how important he is to that operation, which we've always known. Anytime you take away Rodgers, the Packers look like the bad team that they truly are. Rodgers has been keeping them afloat for a decade. And the other winner to me, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because they did not play this week in what was one of the more chaotic weeks of the NFL season. You know, it's funny. Whenever we talk about, like, oh, this week's not very exciting, that's when it's the most exciting. And maybe it's because of our expectations are the lowest. Same idea with the college football. We had one game in college football that featured two ranked teams, and it was actually a really boring game. And yet, there was all sorts of chaos in college football and great games all around. But if you looked at the schedule going into the weekend, you would think, like, this week in college football, not a lot of good games. Then as they played out, they were great games. As Chris Berman would always say, that's why you play the game. And in the NFL, similar, right? Yesterday was chaos, and you looked at that schedule and you thought, like, oh, yeah, the Cowboys are heavy favorites. Right? They'll win. The Raiders, oh, they get the lousy Giants. The Bills are heavy favorites against Jacksonville. They're going to win. Right? Not the case. We had two double-digit underdogs win outright yesterday. The Cardinals were an underdog by the time that game started of about a touchdown. They won by two scores, two touchdowns. The Titans were a 7-point underdog. They won by 12. In fact, that number crept up closer to 8. Right, a lot of surprises. And so the second winner to me is the Buccaneers for simply not playing. Everybody else, you guys all fall apart. We'll sit back and relax. We'll take this week off. You guys all beat up on each other. And we'll be at home relaxing. Because now you come away from the NFL yesterday with concerns about all the other top teams. The Titans may be the only one that came out of it safe. Maybe the Ravens, too. The Ravens get a comeback win. But anytime you get a comeback, we always give props for the comeback and ignore the fact that, like, wait a minute, you were down 14 in the second half at home again. What's going on there that you're falling behind? Right? We ignore the fact that Lamar Jackson did not play well for three quarters of the game and then, you know, played a little bit better as the game went on. We always give props to the comeback without understanding that they did something to put themselves in that position to begin with. So for the Ravens, at least they got a win. But if you watch the game, like, you know, you come away thinking like, that wasn't very impressive by Baltimore. The Titans looked good last night, but at the same time, didn't do much offensively, got a lot of help from Matt Stafford, and you come away thinking, like, good win for the Titans, but they only averaged 3 yards of offense per play. That's pretty horrendous. And they don't have Derrick Henry, and it showed last night. The Cowboys, right, get beat up. They play the worst half of football in a long time. Dak Prescott has maybe the worst game of his career. Ezekiel Elliott gets banged up. They lose to the Broncos. And you're like, oh, boy, the Cowboys. All right, what's up with them? Their defense exposed a little bit. The Packers look terrible without Aaron Rodgers. The Saints lose at home to the Falcons. The Cardinals are the only team that really came out where you can't say much about them. Right? Like the Titans got a win. I'm still concerned about that offense. Didn't look good last night. The only team really is the Cardinals that come out of there with a win, and they did it without Kyler Murray. And they did it without DeAndre Hopkins. And they did it without J.J. Watt. And you come away thinking like, wow, this Cardinals team is really good. Otherwise, everybody else was wrapped up in the carnage that was the NFL yesterday. And meanwhile, Tampa Bay was sitting at home thinking, all right, you guys all beat up on each other. You make yourself look bad. We're going to take this week off. We're going to relax at home. We're still 6-2. We're in first place. You guys get some losses. You come join us with the two-loss group here in the NFC, and we'll get back to it this week and be just fine. The two biggest winners to me didn't even play. It was Rodgers, and then it was Brady and the Buccaneers. Everyone else came out of yesterday. All of the top contenders, or so we thought, came out looking worse yesterday, other than maybe Arizona. And since the Buccaneers didn't play, all right, they kind of stayed the same. The Bills, terrible. You score 6 points to the Jaguars and you lose on the road, brutal. Even the Ravens got a win, but wasn't clean. Right, the Chargers, the Raiders, that whole AFC West, it doesn't look all that great. Just the Cardinals. And the Buccaneers are simply not playing. That's why the Buccaneers came off of it looking so good this past weekend. But that Bills-Jaguars game really summarizes yesterday, because the Jaguars were a 15-point underdog. They beat the Bills outright. It's the largest surprise victory in Jaguars history. The largest win for them when in terms of being an underdog, to come out and actually win the game. The biggest upset in Jaguars history. The previous record was when they beat Dan Marino in the playoffs as a 14-point dog. It was Marino's final game, and the Jaguars, if I remember correctly, won something like 62-7, which was remarkable, and that's how Marino, kind of faded away. But yesterday, as a dog of almost 16 at home against the Bills, they come out and they win outright. Big win for Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence, who got banged up, came back out there. He didn't play great. They only scored 9 points, but hey, they won at home against Buffalo, and I thought that really summarized yesterday in the NFL, because the Bills were supposedly, everyone was telling me, this heavy favorite. ESPN's FPI gave them twice as good of odds as any other team to win the Super Bowl this year, which I did not understand. And they went out there and they laid an egg against Jacksonville yesterday and lost the game. But what stood out to me was the fact that we had Josh Allen sack Josh Allen. And then we had Josh Allen intercept Josh Allen. And you may be thinking, what's going on here? Well, right, Josh Allen, who played at Kentucky, the linebacker, plays for the Jaguars, and Josh Allen, the quarterback, plays for the Bills. We had Josh Allen versus Josh Allen. First time a Josh Allen intercepted a Josh Allen. Josh Allen on the defense wins. And it was a whole, we talked earlier about 90s movies. It was a whole Office Space Michael Bolton thing going on with the Jaguars and the Bills yesterday, when it was Josh Allen versus Josh Allen, and the lesser-known Josh Allen was the one that made the big plays, got the stop. And the Josh Allen that you probably know, the quarterback of the Bills, comes out as the loser who didn't play so well, a la Michael Bolton in Office Space 25 years ago.
Michael Bolton?
That's me.
Wow, is that your real name?
Yeah.
So are you related to that singer guy?
No, it's just a coincidence.
Oh.
No one in this country can ever pronounce my name right. It's not that hard. Nai-i-na-na-ja.
Yeah, well, at least your name isn't Michael Bolton.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that name.
There was nothing wrong with it until I was about 12 years old, and that no-talent ass clown became famous and started winning Grammys.
Well, why don't you just go by Mike instead of Michael?
No way. Why should I change? He's the one who sucks.
I love that logic. Why should I change my name? He's the one that sucks. Even though the other Michael Bolton, of course, more well-known than this guy working in the office. But it was similar to that Josh Allen and the other Josh Allen. Unless you're an SEC football fan, right, you probably didn't even know that other Josh Allen. People were watching the NFL yesterday thinking, like, what's going on here? Josh Allen versus Josh Allen. You only know the quarterback. You never want to have the same name as a celebrity if you're not the more impressive celebrity. We just saw this where Will Smith, the pitcher of the Braves, right, his name's Will Smith. He's pitching in the World Series. And, of course, you have the actor Will Smith. at least the pitcher, Will Smith, came out to the Fresh Prince theme song. He goes along with it. He plays it up. But you never want to share that same name. What about in the NFL years ago, we had Roy Williams, the wide receiver, and then we had Roy Williams, the safety, and at one point during their careers, they both played for the Cowboys, and you had to try to keep it straight. Oh, is that Roy Williams, the receiver, or Roy Williams, the defensive back? In fact, you can always bring everything back to Seinfeld, of course. So they did that in Seinfeld with the periodontist. George thought he was driving John Voight's car, turned out it was John Voight, the periodontist. And he said, that's right. And he said, you went to school with John Voight? And he said, yeah, dental school. I went to the periodontist, not the famous actor John Voight.
I also went to school with Will Smith. He was a buddy of mine.
Oh, yeah? See, you don't want that same name. He's going to have to go by, like, William Smith. Go by Bill Smith. I don't think you want the same name as a celebrity if you're also, especially if you're a celebrity and you're the lesser-known celebrity. Now, we went through this with the Citadel playing VMI, and in the spring I played all the clips of my Michael Jackson references, but VMI has a wide receiver named Michael Jackson. Of course, the first thing people think of is the musician. Until you become a bigger star than the musician, Michael Jackson, good luck. Anytime people hear your name or they meet you or anything, they always are going to think of the other Michael Jackson. The Michael Jackson. You got to go by Mike. You got to be Mike Jackson. Now, you can't go Michael Jackson. In the NFL, Adrian Peterson is still playing. We saw him last night on Sunday Night Football. But when he was in the league, when he first came to the league with the Vikings, there was also an Adrian Peterson who was also a running back in the same division on the Chicago Bears. And he was always like the backup. He played at Texas, I think, if I remember correctly. And Adrian Peterson played at Oklahoma. The other lesser-known Adrian Peterson played somewhere in Texas for college football. And he went to the NFL, and he stuck around with the Bears for a few years. But same idea. People would draft the wrong Adrian Peterson in fantasy football back in the day before it was as high-tech as it is now, because they would just see the name, think you're getting the Minnesota Viking running back, you're getting the third stringer on the Bears, both Adrian Peterson. But there's all sorts of examples, like Michael Jordan. So then you have the actor come along. He's smart enough that he wants to stick with Michael, so he put B for his middle initial. He's Michael B. Jordan, so that you could differentiate the two. He's not Michael Jordan. He's Michael B. Jordan.
Well, that happens in music, too, because there is a producer named Michael James Jackson.
Oh. Yeah, see, that's the way to go. Use your middle name. Use a middle, and you got to alter something slightly to be able to differentiate the two. Michael Jordan versus Michael B. Jordan. In fact, there was a commercial a few years back about this whole thing at, like, a steakhouse, right? And the restaurant was getting all excited because they thought Michael Jordan was coming. He called to make a reservation. Then the guy shows up, and he's clearly not Michael Jordan, and the staff is all upset that it's not the Michael Jordan. And I forget what the commercial's for. I don't know. Maybe it was like Southwest Want to Get Away. I have no idea. But along those same lines, like, change your name. Don't go around as Michael Jordan. People are always going to think you're the Michael Jordan. There are countless examples that I was thinking of this morning and looked up a few others. All right. I mean, I don't know if you ever watch Antique Roadshow, but the guy on Antique Roadshow, I guess, I've never seen it. I found this one online, is Mark L. Wahlberg. He's Mark Wahlberg, but he goes with the L. So now if you're Marky Mark, if you're the actor and former rapper Mark Wahlberg, you're sharing your name with the guy from the Antique Roadshow. That's not very good.
If I'm not mistaken, he had a talk show in the 90s, on Antiques Roadshow.
Mark L. Wahlberg. Interesting. You have Tony Bennett, the coach at Virginia, and Tony Bennett, the famous singer as well. Why don't you be Anthony Bennett? You can't be. There's only one Tony Bennett, and it's not you coaching Virginia basketball. How about there's a few that changed their names for this very reason, and I never knew this. Michael Keaton, the actor Michael Keaton, his real name is Michael Douglas. But there was already, of course, an actor named Michael Douglas, and you don't want to try to compete with his level of fame. You have to become the better Michael Douglas, so he went with Michael Keaton. Also, there's a whole thing in the Actors Guild, whatever it's called, screenwriter, whatever that thing is, the union they're all part of. You can't have the same name twice. So you have to change it, either use your middle initial, middle name, something. So he would have had to do something other than just simply Michael Douglas. He decided to change his name completely and go Michael Keaton. Katy Perry, the singer that you may know, she performed at the Super Bowl halftime a few years back. Her real name is Kate Hudson. But there's already a famous actress, Kate Hudson. So she changed her name to Katy Perry. And this one I had no idea. David Bowie's real name is David Jones. but there was already Davy Jones of the Monkees. So as David Bowie is coming up, he doesn't want to be Davy Jones as well, a second Davy Jones. So he went with David Bowie. Randy Jackson. When American Idol first came out, I only watched like the first season, and I thought, okay, that's enough of this show. But when it first came out 20 years ago, it was a big deal. Everybody loved American Idol. And I always thought, you know, the internet wasn't what it was. You could just Google on your phone. I always thought Randy Jackson from American Idol, I thought for the longest time it was the same Randy Jackson from the Jackson 5. Going back to Michael Jackson, I thought that was one of his brothers, and he was now wouldn't that make sense? He's a judge on American Idol. You had no idea who he was otherwise. I always thought Randy Jackson, I thought he was in the Jackson 5 for years until the internet came along and I was able to ask Jeeves at school one day and find out, like, oh, that's a different Randy Jackson. Apparently, there's a second actor named Bill Murray. That's a tough one. There's a reason why you probably never heard of him, because he's not as good as the more popular, famous, well-known Bill Murray. There's an actor and director. You know the actor, Steve McQueen. There's now a director. And I saw a movie recently that was directed by Steve McQueen, and I thought, like, oh, wow, the actor is still doing movies? He, of course, passed away a long time ago, but, you know, I saw his name on the movie. I thought, like, oh, wow, he's still making movies? Steve McQueen? I know he's an old-time actor. Turns out it's just some director with the same name. That's another one. When you're in the same industry, you got to change your name. And then just a few others. Carlos Santana, the baseball player. And, of course, Carlos Santana, the great guitarist. Can't share that name. Jack Johnson was a boxer and also now a musician. You have Michelle Williams, an actress, and also there was a member of Destiny's Child with the same name. How about when you watch NFL Sunday every week, James Brown, right, hosting on CBS. And we all know the real James Brown. You gotta change your name. You gotta go like Jim Brown. Although then that gets into Jim Brown territory with the NFL. I guess there's no good solution there. You have to go somewhere completely different from your real first name.
About Jay Brown.
Sure, that's a good one.
Or
yeah, he should be Jay Brown.
First and last, or first and middle names, initials.
Yeah.
Well, Jay something Brown.
It's probably why they call him JB. I don't know if people refer to the musician James Brown as JB, but they always call this James Brown on the set of CBS. They always call him JB, probably for that same thing. He didn't want to just be known as James Brown. You got to be a little different. So he could be the musician's James Brown. This guy's JB.
Or Jimmy.
Sure. Go as Jimmy Brown. Why not? And the last one I'll mention, and he probably should have kept his name the same, the comedian Albert Brooks, who I love. And he was on the first episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm this year. He's great. But his real name is Albert Einstein. So, of course, he had to change it to Albert Brooks for his career. I always thought he was related to Mel Brooks. His name's Albert Brooks. I assumed he was related to Mel Brooks. I just found out when he passed away that he was related to Bob Einstein. I had no idea. I thought he was related to some other famous guy in Hollywood. Because his real name was Albert Einstein. And he said, nope, can't use that name in Hollywood. I got to go by Albert Brooks. If you ever have the same name as somebody, and they're more popular, more famous, you got to change your name. Albert Brooks did. Michael Keaton did. Katy Perry did. David Bowie did. But then you get those that are still, you know, Michael B. Jordan compared to Michael Jordan. And yesterday we had Josh Allen versus Josh Allen, and props to him because the lesser-known Josh Allen had the bigger day. He got a big win yesterday in the battle for Josh Allen name supremacy in the NFL, as did the Jaguars. Speaking of which, when we come back, I'll give you my takeaways from all the games in NFL Sunday yesterday. It's the Moore Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Coming up, my takeaways from Week 9 of the NFL season. More so than what we were just discussing. We'll get into each of the games as well. Here on the Moore Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Playing Fox-themed songs today for the Fox that ran out in the field at Arizona State over the weekend. Which one is this?
Okay, this is I Love It Loud by Kiss.
Uh-huh.
Prominently being featured on drums is Eric Carr. And of course, when he first joined KISS, they were still wearing the makeup, and his character became the Fox.
Oh, there you go. Gene Simmons is another one. We were talking about people that need to change names. You had Gene Simmons. You also had the actress Gene Simmons.
Plus the country singer Jumpin' Gene Simmons. Remember, we played his song Haunted
right.
House before Halloween.
He had to use Jumpin'. Now, did he come first, or was he after KISS?
Jumpin' Gene Simmons was in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, okay.
But I think he was kind of forgotten by them.
Yeah, I guess so.
But the actress Gene Simmons, actually, she said kind of gave her a bit of a resurgence in the 70s due to the band's popularity.
On the text line, somebody says that they believe Steve McQueen's grandson is an actor with the same name. Yeah, so I have to admit, I don't know if this is something bad to admit, I watched a little bit of The Vampire Diaries. I'm not into vampires, but I got into a little bit into The Vampire Diaries on Netflix in the last year or two. Not a bad show, but yeah, the grandson is in that show. He's an actor. His name is Stephen R. McQueen, so a little bit different. Instead of Steve McQueen, again, you have to add the initial because there's probably some other Stephen McQueen. You can't have two names in the same, whatever it is, Screen Actors Guild, is that what it's called? You can't have two of the same names, so you have to do something a little different. But he goes Stephen McQueen instead of Steve McQueen, and then you have a director, Steve McQueen, as well, who's making movies these days. It's hard to keep it all straight.
Although in the case of Gene Simmons of KISS, who's also done some acting, that's not his real name.
That's true.
Yeah, his legal name is Gene Klein. But his birth name was like Chaim Witz.
Yeah. So he did the opposite of what I've been saying. He chose to use a name that was already well known. Now, I've had a similar experience. You know, when like MySpace first came out and then Facebook, people would always friend others that had the same name as them. I remember I was friends with another Luke Morrow for a number of years who actually didn't live far from me and was also like a Dave Matthews fan. We never met. We never talked to one another, but that was a thing you used to do. You wanted to see, like, who else has my name? And when you found them, you used to friend request them, and you were friends with all the people that had the same name as you. But there was also somebody else who grew up not far from where I grew up who has my same name and is my same age, and he gets into all sort of trouble, and he sullies my good name. And a few years ago, I think I told the story before, but when I was still living in Florida, I woke up to a text message from one of my cousins. And all the text says was, please tell me you're still in Florida. And I'm like, this is a little odd. And I responded and I said, yeah, I am. Why? And he said, okay, good. And he sent a link. And I opened up the link, and sure enough, it's a Luke Morrow, my age, in the town in which I grew up in, arrested for selling like black tar heroin. And I thought, okay, well, that's great. Everyone's going to see this in the paper and think it's me. At least I don't live around there anymore. But this kid keeps getting busted. He's my same age, grew up in the same county, the same town, the same area, at least, not exactly the same town, but not far from where I grew up. Same name, same age. He keeps getting busted for selling drugs. It makes me look bad. And he's the one that needs to change his name, just like Michael Bolton said in Office Space, right? Because he's the one that sucks. He's got to change his name, not me ruining my good name.
But then there's also friend of the show, Bill Burr.
Uh-huh. That's
from
true.
Channel 24.
That's true. That's a tough one. When we had him on the air, when we had him on the show, I asked him about that. And he's also, you know, a public figure. He's not a comedian like the Bill Burr. They're not in the same industry per se, but he is on TV every night, and he's a public figure. And, yeah, that's a tough name to have as well like that, because everybody always thinks of Bill Burr the comedian instead of, you know, Bill Burr, your favorite local news anchor. I don't know when he got his career started and when Bill Burr the comedian really took off, but that's another one. You got, at this point, I guess it's too late. He's already too well known, but that's another one. You can't have that same name. You got to change that name. Sorry, the comedian from Boston. He's got the rights to the name Bill Burr. That's the name right now. That's who you think of. Anyways, this all stemmed from what we saw this weekend when Josh Allen of the Jaguars dominated Josh Allen of the Bills, and won the whole Josh Allen, you know, battle off for that name in the NFL. Which takes me to this. We do it every Monday. We recap what we saw over the weekend, and I give you my big takeaways from every game in the NFL. Let's get to it now. Run through what we saw in a wild Week 9 of the NFL season.
New York Jets at Indianapolis Colts.
This goes back to the Thursday night football game, and for the Jets, no word just yet on their quarterback situation. Here's what I find interesting, though. We talked about this game on Friday. So my only takeaway now at this point on Monday, you could go back and listen to the podcast if you really want to know how I feel about what we saw Thursday Night Football. But Josh Johnson, has more passing yards over the last 2 weeks than Patrick Mahomes. And Josh Johnson played less than one game, and Mahomes played both games. And yet Josh Johnson has more passing yards. Doesn't bode well for Zach Wilson and his return for the Jets and the expectations for him, the young quarterback, when he's struggling and all these other no-namers are having success at the Jets quarterback position. In fact, this started a trend this weekend, now that I think about it, of guys who weren't with their teams and weren't really missed. Aaron Rodgers was the only one who was missed. We'll get to the others throughout this segment, but a bunch of teams had to replace big stars the last 2 weeks. They've been just fine, including the Jets replacing Zach Wilson Thursday night with Josh Johnson and Mike White.
Atlanta Falcons at New Orleans Saints.
Oh, my goodness, Falcons fans. You hope that this is like the sign of better things to come here moving forward, because for a while, that looked like another typical Falcons loss handing away a victory. Let me try to bring up this game log real quick, because I could not believe what I was seeing. I was texting some buddies yesterday about the Falcons win. I told you to take the Falcons on Friday. I was already taking a victory lap. My buddies and I were texting, oh, Trevor Siemian, can you believe Siemian was favored by six? And then, you know, and then I look back at the screen, and before I know it, the Saints are winning in the final 2 minutes, and I thought, oh my God, Simeon's going to pull off a crazy fourth quarter comeback after we were making fun of him. The Falcons were up 24-6 in the fourth quarter with 10 minutes to go. They're up 24-6. And as that game played out, you probably thought, like, oh, yep, seen this before. The Saints scored a touchdown on their last three possessions of the fourth quarter. And for the Falcons during that time when they had the football, on that first possession when they had the football, they went 3-and-out. And Mike Davis had the run that went for -4. They had a completion that went for -4. It was 3rd-and-18. They had to punt it. Then they get the football back on their next possession. There was a penalty, and then there was a sack, and then there was another sack, and they went back, and it was 3rd-and-22 by the end. It ended up being 4th-and-22. They had a punt again, and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, this is miserable. The Saints are scoring touchdowns every time, and the Falcons are just going in the wrong direction when they have the football. And the Saints get a touchdown, and they take the lead with a minute to go, and then the Falcons, Cordarrelle Patterson, continues to be their star. And he makes that play downfield for 64 yards, setting up the winning field goal. And maybe you thought, remember we did our exorcism last week with the Braves winning the World Series. Maybe this was that moment for the Falcons. That was the typical Falcons loss of the last 5 years. This time they found a way to actually turn it into a last-second win instead on the field goal. Props to the Falcons for actually winning this game, making it a lot harder than they need to. And I'll say this about Matt Ryan. We'll get to the Browns in a moment. Without OBJ, well, without Calvin Ridley yesterday, against a top-five defense on the road, Matt Ryan played really well. 343 yards, couple of touchdowns, quarterback rating of 136. I have a theory on the show that we mention often, but when you lose that number one wide receiver, it actually could help your offense because you don't feel like you have to force-feed somebody. You could spread it around. Yesterday, Russell Gage had 7 catches. Cordarrelle had 6. He had the big play. Matt Ryan played pretty well, and they got a good win on the road without Calvin Ridley.
Las Vegas Raiders at New York Giants.
So this was one of those games I said Friday, at a certain point, it's going to catch up to the Raiders. And it finally did yesterday. Cross-country trip to New Jersey, early kickoff for them. And then you have all the things that they've been dealing with off the field. You have the whole John Gruden situation. You have the terrible Henry Ruggs situation last week. And, you know, say what you will about all that. I gave my thoughts last week. But also at the end of the day, those are guys who are in the locker room. It's like if your coworker did something like that, and that coworker was also a good friend of yours, and you spend all this time together, and then they have an experience like that. And now you have to go out and, you know, go play a football game, continue to do your job with all that going on. Not only that, but then also last week, we get video of the Raiders' first-round pick from last year posting videos with a gun threatening to kill somebody. So point being, the Raiders have a lot of things going on away from the football field, a lot of noise, don't have a head coach. You figure this is going to catch up to them at some point, and it did on Sunday. It's like when you overwork yourself all week at work, and you know like a certain you're going to crash at a certain point, right? You're going to be, by the weekend, you're going to be so worn out, or on Friday, you're not going to be able to get anything done at work. You've been working overtime all week. You're getting little sleep. You feel fine for now. You're running off of coffee, but eventually it's going to catch up to you, and you're going to bottom out. And that's the case with the Raiders yesterday against the Giants. It finally all caught up to them, and they lost on the road to the Giants, who are better. I continue to say I think they are better than the record indicates, but still a game that if you are Las Vegas, typically that's a game that you need to win, especially if you want to compete in the AFC West.
New England Patriots at Carolina Panthers.
Boy, was I wrong about this one. The Panthers were getting 3.5 at home, and I said, yeah, take the Panthers. And I went against my instincts. Bill Belichick against a young quarterback, especially Sam Darnold. I do think the Patriots are better than their record indicates, but I thought, no, I like that. A home dog, 2-4-4 teams, and you're going to give me a home team catching 3.5? I thought Carolina, Christian McCaffrey coming back, yeah, they'll be fine. And I was dead wrong. Sam Darnold was horrendous. 3 more interceptions yesterday. At this point, I mean, you got to give P.J. Walker a chance because Darnold's getting nothing done. And he even admitted yesterday after the game, you know, it's not a hard admission at this point, but that he hasn't been playing well. He's embarrassed. He needs to be a lot better. I should have known better because Sam Darnold in his career against Bill Belichick is now 0-4. And in those 4 games, he has 1 touchdown, 9 interceptions. 1 touchdown, 9 interceptions in 4 losses. And remember the line he said before, right? I'm seeing ghosts when he played Belichick a couple of years ago. And yesterday, Julian Edelman tweeted a GIF about ghosts during that game after Darnold threw another pick. That is a terrible matchup for him. McCaffrey came back, you know, didn't quite look 100%. And the Panthers continue in this free fall, really, because their quarterback has been lousy. Meanwhile, look out for the Patriots. Over 500, playing better football. Belichick's teams always get better after September. Look out for New England in a wide-open AFC. Now they're only like a game behind the Bills in that division. Look out for these Patriots this year.
Minnesota Vikings at Baltimore Ravens.
Same thing, different week. I could replay what I've said in the past. The Vikings had a 14-point lead in the second half. They had an 80% chance of winning that game, according to the metrics. They had even an overtime of about a 70% chance of winning after intercepting Lamar Jackson, and in the end, they still find a way to lose, coughing up a 14-point lead. It's standard procedure for the Vikings, 2-5 in one-possession games this year. I compared them earlier to Clemson, but for the opposite reason. The Vikings don't know how to win these close games. Clemson is showing this year they know how to win close games. The Vikings don't. They find ways to lose every week. They're much better than the record indicates. They have a positive point differential and yet are 3-5. And until they make some changes, nothing is going to happen. Whether that's a coaching change, a quarterback change, offensive coordinator, whatever it is, the offense always disappears in the second half. The defense gets shredded as the game goes on and they blow leads. Same thing, different week. In regards to the Ravens, third time this year, they have erased a second half deficit of 10 plus points to win. And that goes a long way for Lamar Jackson because what have we always said? He can't come back. He has to play with a lead. I wasn't overly impressed with Lamar yesterday, but at the end of the day, he found a way to win, and the Ravens have erased 3 separate second-half double-digit deficits this year. That's big for Lamar Jackson, and Baltimore is now 6-2, right now with a game-and-a-half lead in the AFC North.
Cleveland Browns at Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, I was wrong about this one as well. We can include this on the show tomorrow for that segment because these are two teams coming off bad losses, hovering next to each other in the standings in the AFC North. And I thought, okay, who do I trust more going into this game? The Bengals are at home. I trusted the Bengals with the way they've been playing, or the Bengals, sorry. And I think Joe Burrow's been having a better year at home, better quarterback. I think overall having the better year than the Browns. I thought, yeah, Cincy, they'll bounce back. They'll be the team. And boy, was I dead wrong because instead the Browns put the hurting on them. So real quick on each team. For Cincinnati, whenever you lay an egg, like the Cowboys yesterday against the Broncos, you have to look at that situation and say, okay, is this a team getting exposed or is this a team that's just having an off week? Because in the NFL, every team is allowed at least 1 or 2 off weeks during a long season. And for the Bengals, I look now at that Jets game and wonder, was that simply just a bad week? Because they follow that up by losing by 25 at home to the Browns. Maybe this is now the start of their downfall. And I'm a Vikings fan, so I can always reference everything back to the Vikings because that's where my memories are. But I think back to 2011 when the Vikings had about 5 wins that year. They went to Philadelphia on a Monday night. They ended up having to play. It was supposed to be a Sunday night game. They ended up playing on a Tuesday because of a snowstorm. But the Eagles were the number one seed that year. That was when Michael Vick had his great comeback in Philadelphia with Andy Reid. And Leslie Frazier was the interim head coach for Minnesota. They had nothing to play for, but he exposed the Eagles with this cornerback blitzing scheme that Antoine Winfield wrecked Michael Vick's night. And he had a scoop and score. He stripped Vick on a sack, picked it up, ran it back for a touchdown. And the Vikings won with Joe Webb in Philadelphia, shutting down Michael Vick in one of the best offenses. And people at the time thought, like, oh, that's just an off night, right? The game got moved to Tuesday because of a snowstorm. It was an odd thing. The Eagles just didn't play well. But if you go back and you look at that season, because that was late in the year, the Eagles, I think, went 1-4 the rest of the way, losing in the first playoff game as the number one seed, if I remember correctly, if I have all those details correct. Point being, it wasn't just a bad game. It was Frazier giving the blueprint to Michael Vick. And Vic was – that was it after that. The Eagles moved on from him. He did not have the same success like he did that year when we were talking about, like, Michael Vick is an MVP quarterback again. So they were exposed that night. The Bengals, maybe same thing against the Jets last week. Meanwhile, for the Browns, 41 points. Baker Mayfield with a quarterback rating of 132 in the first game without OBJ. We know the Browns are better without Beckham Jr. Baker Mayfield is better without OBJ. In fact, since OBJ got to the Browns, they are 13-15 with him, 10-5 without him. They're better without him, and that was, again, proven yesterday. Baker Mayfield played better, so too did the Browns. They got a big win in the AFC North.
Buffalo Bills at Jacksonville Jaguars.
Embarrassing loss for the Bills, because not only did you lose as about a 16-point favorite, you scored only 6 points against statistically probably the worst defense in the league. Statistically, the Jaguars have the second-worst pass defense in the league. The Bills managed 6 points. Josh Allen had a couple of interceptions. The Bills had double-digit penalties. They were not good yesterday. And I scratched my head with all the people telling me last week that the Bills should be the heavy favorite to win the Super Bowl. I did not see it. They've beaten up on a lot of bad teams. They had a really good win against the Chiefs, but maybe the Chiefs are also a bad team. And otherwise, the Bills lost to the Titans. They struggled against the Dolphins last week. Now they lost to the Jaguars. There's still something off here offensively. They can't run the football consistently, and I don't trust Josh Allen enough to lead the team on his own. You look at the standings right now, the Bills have a half-game lead on the Patriots, and Belichick has dominated the Bills in his coaching career. So suddenly, you look at that division, forget we thought the Bills were going to coast to like a number one seed in the AFC in that lousy division. Now they're in a battle for that division with the Patriots. That was a bad performance yesterday for the Bills. Credit the Jaguars. Win franchise history, and it was led by Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. I told you Shane Beamer got a signature win. Well, that's kind of a signature win for Urban Meyer in his first year as well.
Houston Texans at Miami Dolphins.
I hope you didn't watch this game. I had to pay attention because I needed a quarterback in fantasy football, and I was dumb enough to think that Tyrod Taylor could fill that void. And I picked him up in two of my leagues, and he was horrendous. There were 8 turnovers combined in this game. Essentially backup quarterbacks for each team, if you will. Both teams with 1 win going in. This was a horrendous, ugly, terrible game. And in the end, the Dolphins get the win. And the big takeaway from this, number one, they win without Tua. That's not good. But more importantly, number two, Tua not available. He's playing for his job every week, and this was one of the concerns about Tua was his health. He came into the league injured. He's not the biggest quarterback. The concern was this is going to alter his career. We can't rely on him, yada, yada, yada. Well, he was injured now 3 straight seasons, missing a game here yesterday for the Dolphins. And if he's not a dynamic enough quarterback and you can't count on him, that's not good for Tua's chances there in Miami. They win yesterday without him.
Denver Broncos at Dallas Cowboys.
Big-time win for the Broncos over the Cowboys. Teddy Bridgewater really good as an underdog. They traded away Von Miller. Maybe that actually brought that locker room together. We got the story that Von Miller, the last part leading to that trade, was he ticked off all his teammates over a Halloween party. You know, you ever remove somebody from the office that nobody can stand? It becomes a happier work environment the next day when you show up and, you know, they've been fired or they're gone or they took another job or whatever. You're celebrating. Maybe for the Broncos, removing Von Miller is actually going to bring this team together. On the flip side for the Cowboys, they played terrible, maybe Dak's worst game of his career. As I said earlier about Cincinnati and going back to the Eagles from a decade ago, you have to wonder if that's just a one-off or if there was something there that could keep them down moving forward. I think that's just a one-off. Dak's first game back, he wasn't great. The defense didn't look good. When the defense doesn't get turnovers, I have concerns about that defense. I think the Cowboys will be fine, but that was a disheartening performance yesterday. Really an embarrassing performance to lose that bad at home to the Denver Broncos.
Los Angeles Chargers at Philadelphia Eagles.
So the Chargers got this win on a last-second field goal in the final minute of the fourth quarter. Justin Herbert played better after 2 terrible weeks. But I've said this before about this Chargers team, kind of like the Falcons. That's the type of game that they typically lose or have in their history. They're finding ways to win these close games. Yesterday on the road, winning on a last-second field goal. No, not a good opponent in the Eagles, but still winning. But for the Chargers, they're 5-3. They're in first place, but they've been outscored this year. So caution, right? Be a little cautious with this Chargers team. Right now, they're overperforming. The metrics would tell you this team's not quite as good as that record indicates. Yesterday, it took to the very end against a 3-6 Eagles team.
Green Bay Packers at Kansas City Chiefs.
Jordan Love, as of right now, just one start, but initial impression, he's not the answer yet. You need to see a lot more development out of him. On the flip side for the Chiefs, that's not a great win. To only score 13 points and only win by six, Patrick Mahomes didn't play well. Kansas City, you get the win, you get over 500, but we're another week into this season, and the Chiefs still haven't figured out their issues and what's been bothering them lately either. I don't feel good about either one of those teams coming out of that game yesterday.
Arizona Cardinals at San Francisco 49ers.
Big-time win for the Cardinals to get it done on the road without Kyler Murray, score over 30 points. Colt McCoy played really well. They're banged up, still won in the division. That's a big-time win for the Cardinals. In November, when you start to worry about Kingsbury, a lot of props to the Cardinals, who right now should probably be, once again, the number one team in the NFC. On the flip side for the Niners, look, four losing seasons in 5 years for Shanahan, it looks like. They've lost 11 of their last 12 on the road. That was a brutal loss yesterday. Nepotism is a real thing. But when you start looking at Kyle Shanahan and look at his offense and the numbers, this isn't his father. He's not winning Super Bowls in Denver. You wonder, how come there's not more pressure or more attention paid to Kyle Shanahan? Because this has really been a disappointing tenure for him outside of that one Super Bowl. And that's accomplishment. But otherwise, it's been a really bad run for him in San Francisco. And yesterday was the latest example.
Tennessee Titans at Los Angeles Rams.
This was Sunday Night Football last night. The Titans had 194 yards of offense, averaged 3 yards per play. So don't be fooled by this game. If you watched it last night, you saw this was really more about the Rams losing than the Titans winning. The Titans have the best record in the AFC, but I still have a lot of questions about them. However, they have the easiest schedule the rest of the season, so they could cruise to the number one seed in the AFC. On the flip side for the Rams, this is the concern everybody has. Matt Stafford, what are you doing on some of those interceptions last night, like the one in the end zone? You can't make plays like that. This is not Detroit anymore. You don't need to have to make plays like that. Rely on the skill players around you. You don't have to try to do too much. And by trying to do too much last night, Stafford ended up losing the game for the Rams. That's the concern for LA. They have all the talent in the world. They're a really good team. They have now a better quarterback. But is he a good enough quarterback to win in the big games? Or will he continue to make big-time mistakes like he did last night and like he has really throughout his career?
Chicago Bears at Pittsburgh Steelers.
This is Monday Night Football tonight. Let's do this. We'll take a break, come back. I'll give you my pick for Monday Night Football tonight as we wrap up Hour 2 and get ready for the Bears-Steelers to wrap up this weekend of NFL football. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up Hour 2 here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Been playing Fox theme songs today for the Fox that ran out in the field this weekend at Arizona State. So what do we got here?
This is the Singer Foxes.
Ah.
Yeah, she's from the UK. She's a singer, songwriter, model.
Ah.
Real name is Louisa Rose Allen.
Uh-huh.
I guess she took the name Foxes, so people would constantly ask her if she's related to fellow UK singer Lily Allen.
Well, see, there you go. Kind of goes along with what I was saying earlier about names. Look at that. Two themes today intertwining with one another. Gene Simmons, this girl as well. Although for opposite reasons, I guess. You don't want the same name as somebody more popular and have to deal with all those questions.
The name of the song is Body Talk.
Body Talk. There you go. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Ran through all the games from this week in the NFL last segment, as we do every Monday in the show, which leads me to Monday Night Football tonight because we always give you a pick for every primetime NFL game. Justin Fields played his best game of his young career last week without Matt Nagy, oddly enough. Nagy will be back tonight, I believe. So too will David Montgomery. But you're on the road against a tough Steelers defense. The line is 7. I take the Bears. I think it's too many points. Now I could easily see the Steelers winning something like 21-10. It's going to be low scoring. The total is 39. I'd probably take the under. I don't think there's a lot of points tonight. It's going to be a defensive battle. I think Justin Fields struggles. And because of those reasons, I also don't know if the Steelers are going to pull away. I don't think they'll score enough to pull away from the Bears. Don't feel great about it, but I'll take the Bears at all those points. 7-point underdog tonight on Monday Night Football. And we'll see how things go this evening. Hour 3 coming up next. More of Midday Show on ESPN Radio.